Then Sopik is undercover. I'll explain it now. Why is undercover? She borrowed from a book called Undercover, which speaks about the same thing. It's all about authority and leadership, and it's actually a good thing. Authority is good. Okay? So I'm going to try to go through scriptures and actually prove it to you if you don't believe it. So, yeah, we're just going to go through biblical principles from direct authority from God and also delegated authority from what God has set in place, creating a structure for us to actually have that safety and protection in church or in whichever dimension it is, if it's family, it's work, or just social authorities as well. So, maybe just to start, like, for example, defining this word undercover, if you think about it yourself, undercover could mean just being under the roof, cover from the rain, protection, and so it's just borrowed from that, and it's, so you can also make it one word, undercover, you go as a secret agent undercover and protected by the bigger authority behind you. So it just, yeah, it speaks of God's protection, his covering on us, the same as with Adam and Eve, they enjoyed God's covering on them, but as soon as they disobeyed, God's covering lifted over them. Just a testimony, you know, to start off with, is out of my life, when I was in grade 11, it was a big decision for me to make because I was the first one out of my whole family to break away from the denomination that I grew up in. And I decided to join the family shofar, and it's been my family ever since, over more than 10 years, so this is my family. And it's been a lovely journey, and I've gone through a lot of stages of struggling to submit, and you know those words, submission and obedience, and big words, and often being offended with things people say or do in church, and there's, you know, myself and Duncan will know, we live together at a flat behind C.S. Leroux, one of the pastors in Santa Barbara, and back in the backyard, and it was quite interesting, yeah, because we served the church for a year, and I think we both, God really put us in a washing machine that, yeah, and this cleans us up of our own motives and the way we serve and the why we serve, because I thought, yes, you know, internship, I'm a man, you know, going to save the church, and then it wasn't like that, actually. I was so full of strife, and my heart of submission wasn't there always. So, yeah, so God has taken me through a journey from after internship going to the bush for 5 years. Literally, I traveled Africa in a truck, and then I lived in a game reserve in the middle of nowhere. I'm blessed and met my wife there, but it's been that blessing of being undercover, part of a church family, and I was protected, like I never got sick. It's amazing, 5 years through malaria areas, and driving almost 200,000 kilometers in 2 years with a truck, and very bad roads, and long hours, and no accidents, nothing. I drove into a bridge once, but it was just a little dent in the top of the roof. Truck was too high. Anyway. But it was just one amazing blessed time, and I was just undercover. My family even prayed for me every time I went. My first time I went to East Africa was my whole family gathered around me. Being conservative, it was actually quite amazing. So they grabbed hold of me, and my dad hugged me, and they prayed for me. It was such a blessing to go undercover, you know? Being in the protection of the church, even sending my family, sending me, and yeah, so I'm just going to share out of my life today, basically. That's the reason why I'm standing in front of the church, is because I'm submitted. The pastor asked me to preach, and I mean, I'm not somebody to preach normally. I didn't see myself ever to stand in front of people. I don't know of your experiences with standing in front of people and preaching, but I'm here because I'm submitting. And yeah, hopefully I can share out of that as well. So, some of you might have experienced authorities in the past as distasteful and just, you know, harsh main bosses just speaking down at you and creating a perception maybe of authority not being a good one. I'm speaking very broad today. There's a whole book to go read up on to get more details. I'm trying just to give you a basic framework. I've got 7 full pages to go through, so I don't know if we're going to get through all of it, but so if you do have any questions, please speak to me afterwards, or speak to Marcus when you get back. But so the thing is, so a lot of our experiences from the past, there's a lot of hurts in our heart towards authority. If you think authority, what's the first thing that comes up? First person that maybe hurt you, that dealt with a lot of things. But then the question is, what's God's perspective on this? What's God's idea of authority and submission? And when do we, you know, how do we deal with unfair treatment? and corrupt treatment, you know, what's in politics or whatever. I believe there's a reconditioning that needs to take place in our hearts. And I believe if we come to a place of repentance in our hearts, just to where we act and our, the pain that we have towards it, we can get closer to God's heartbeat and where He's at and what He wants to do with us. In a church, for example, in the body of Christ, you know, us as a family growing, there's a lot of exciting things happening. And it's our decision as individuals, are we going to fall in or are we just going to sit on the sideline or are we going to actually just find greener pastures on the other side of the wall? So, it's amazing how Duncan is also the scripture from earlier that 1 Samuel 15:22-23, I memorized it because it's on my faith as well. It's just amazing how God comes and confirms it, hey? Because He's a king and He desires obedience for the sacrifice. And that's going to be the main thing of today. It's not a democracy that we live in. I read something actually this morning. Yesterday there was this bill passed in Ireland now, where more than a million people voted for gay marriages to be legalized, and 700,000 voted against it. So now it's passed because of democracy rules. So now it's done, and everybody's celebrating, and all the celebrities are saying, "Well done, guys have achieved something now, made history." And even the church leaders, it's really sad because even the church leaders in Ireland, certain denominations, have said, "Well, they don't disagree with." You know, the whole approach of, or that orientation, but it's a pity that, you know, the small definition of marriage is now sort of changing. And I mean, that's what they're saying. So we really need to pray for our leaders, guys, and that's why Empower 21 is so powerful. I'm getting a lot of goosebumps this morning. That's exciting. Normally that's the marriage, but it's really exciting, eh? So, it's sad on the one side, but it's exciting as well, because the church God wants to use the church to speak into the world, and if we are going to keep on breaking ranks and do our own thing, then we're just not going to be effective. We're not going to fulfill God's purpose for us as a church body, globally or individually, small church in Durban. And, so we're not that small, actually. A lot of the people are just not here this morning. I don't know where they are. That is very cool. Anyway, but, we're growing. So it's just, if we understand God and His kingdom, and we fall into the right position of self, we can enjoy that safety and comfort and freedom that comes with being under the authority of the King. And He's a good King, and His kingdom is the ruling kingdom. And we are the citizens, and we can enjoy that freedom in that city of His authority. So, I believe authority is part of His provision to show His grace to us. He's given us, there's a couple of things that I'll go through now. Maybe just to clarify before we go on, submission and obedience to authority. So there's two different things. So submission, often people use it interchangeably, but God demands us to always be submissive to our authorities. Okay? And we'll get to why and where he says that. But it speaks of our attitude and our heart behind to what we do. So it's attitude. Submission equals attitude. Think about it like that maybe. And then obedience speaks of our actions. Okay? So, you'll actually be surprised, even reading this book undercover this week, it's been, you know, often we so easily say, oh, but what about bad authority? What about people saying this? But 90% of the time it's actually 99% of the time we should actually obey. And we'll get to the end where, you know, there's obviously times there's exceptions, you know. Only the time when we disobey is when authority tells us to sin. Okay? So, but we'll clarify it over there. Don't leave me now. I'm just getting introduction to it. So just to define, submission is our attitude and obedience more towards the actions. But we should always have a good attitude towards authority. If it's in whichever dimension. My wife towards me, she doesn't have to obey me if I tell her to sin. And obviously, but she should still have a submissive attitude towards me because I'm her husband. Okay? Some sense? Okay, me? Next one, I mean, thanks, Ed. He's a married man. So just to get to direct authority. So this is direct authority, and this is crucial just to understand where authority really lies. It's from God. And So there's a scripture, James 1, verse 16 to 17. So a lot of these things, that, a lot of the scriptures I don't actually put down on the board. So you can write it down and read it up afterwards. Not as easy as once. So, maybe I'm just lazy, I don't know. But, so, just to say that every good thing is from him, okay? So in James 1, verse 16 to 17, it says, every good and every perfect, free, large, full, and amplified, it says, gift is from above. He comes down from the Father of all that gives light and the shining of, and there can be no variation shut off him. So, just to say his authority is a good thing. He wants to give us good gifts, he wants to protect us, he wants to bring us to a place of safety, okay? And then, but the amazing thing is that God did, and that's where the story in Genesis comes in, is that he gave us free, he wants us to choose to be obedient. Maybe I should say differently. Because of his unconditional love towards us, he gave us the free choice to obey him or not to obey him. Okay, so there was the trees in Genesis that they were not allowed to, the one tree that they're not allowed to eat from, and they had a choice to eat it or not to eat it. But obviously with deception that came in, rebellion, they ended up eating it, and they questioned God's goodness. And that's when, that's unfortunate thing. So it's actually our own rebellion in our hearts that often drives away from God's blessing that he actually has for us. Matthew 25 verse 34, it just speaks about, this is not on the slides, but I just want to read it for you. So God's promises for us is eternity. So it says there, at the end of the verse, it says, inherit, receive as your own the kingdom prepared for you from the big foundation of the world. So this is for the faithful servants that he speaks about here. Yeah. Maybe I should read the last scripture. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, you favored of God and anointed to eternal salvation, inherit, receive your own kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. So beautiful, that's what God has for us. The king has for us. So, but with obedience to the king, it speaks a lot about faith. So, the greater our submission and obedience, the greater it reflects our faith. So basically our faith is revealed through our obedience, in another way to say it. You can go through all the Old Testament characters, the guys that achieved things for God, they put out their faith through obedience, they conquered. So in the New Testament context, I like the way Duncan also mentioned, all the New Testament together in the offering. So in Luke 17 verse 3 to 5, you write that down. Pay attention and always be on your guard, looking out for one another. If your brother sins, misses the mark, solemnly tell him so and reprove him. And if he repents, feel sorry for him for having sinned, forgive him. And even if he sins against you 7 times in a day and turns to you 7 times and says, I repent, I'm sorry, you must forgive him. Give up resentment and consider the offenses as recalled and annulled. Next verse, the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. That trust and confidence that springs from our belief in God. That's in brackets. So, it's just amplified, expanding a bit. So, this is what the apostle's response is to what God has just told him about forgiveness. So they said, it's impossible. How should we forgive somebody like that? And they just asked the Lord to increase our faith so that we can walk in this obedience of this instruction. Sometimes it's hard teachings. People were offended by Jesus' teachings. That's why how much people were. You just spoke of love and forgiveness and grace. But there comes a lot of, it's just that obedience in the heart that comes out. And that means a lot of faith. So with that to happen, we need to walk in revealed knowledge. And it's the opposite of communicated knowledge that often we can nod in church and we can agree and we can meet the word and we can even memorize the word. And we can, know the law or the letter, as I would say. But if it is not revealed in our heart that God is a good God and he's my father, he's my king, if we don't make it our own, it will just be communicated knowledge to us. The same with Adam and Eve. So Eve had communicated knowledge from Adam, and with deception being very subtle and deceiving, the devil could come to her and say, so, whatever you said, I've got to go now. I heard, so the serpent came and said, I heard God said you can't eat from every tree. Just questioning God's goodness in him. And that's, it's sad, but she, you know, through that, she started questioning, oh, well, I can't give her everything, so maybe I should try everything, because maybe God has looked at me, he's holding something for me. So, you know, if we make it our own revealed knowledge, then we won't fall for these deceptions that come through. And, yeah, the sad thing is, we can live in self-denial, but still be in rebellion. Okay, so Matthew 6 verse 24, that's also not on there, says, you all know the scripture, Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to be my disciple, let him deny himself, disregard, lose sight of, and forget himself and his own interests, and take up his cross and follow me, cleave steadfastly to me, conform wholly to my example, living, and if need be, in dying also. So, this speaks to me. I used to think, oh, I just need to deny myself and, you know, leave my own desires behind, but it speaks of obedience to God's instructions, to even to dying for him. And so, it's a hard word I said to you guys, I'm gonna just throw it out. But I hope you can receive this morning in love. So we can live in self, we can live in self-denial and, you know, let everything go in our lives. But if our hearts are in rebellion towards God's authority and what he's actually made us to do, I mean, instructed us to do, we're disobedient to that, then we could still miss the point of this all. So if we are obedient to his purposes, his promises of safety and protection, so Psalm 91, verse 1 to 2, you all know this. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no foe can stand. I will say to the Lord, he was my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I will lean and rely, and in him I confidently trust. So, you know, God is our safety and our refuge, and like we all did in the worship, as we sang in the worship, under the covers of his wings, shadow of his wings. You know, there's protection, there's safety. So, this all speaks, you know, just bringing this in as a background, we're going to get to the good stuff now. This is good stuff. Anyway. Sound like a typical preacher, eh? It's gotta be real. Okay, so it doesn't okay. The last point that I just wanted to make, the his direct authority towards us, is that it doesn't give up on us. It's not just you give us one chance and then if you miss it, you miss it. There's so many places in the Bible where God will come continually with different from different angles to try to bring something back on the road. And Saul in the Old Testament is a good example. And even the New Testament refers to that incident as a good example for us not to follow in. So Saul was, for example, commanded to go into one of these battles and kill everything. It sounds like a harsh command in that time. And he said, yes, let's go. He got all the men together. They went for it. It's in 1 Samuel 15 for those that took notes. But then after the battle was won, he kept the king alive and he took all the, I think, let me just get the story right, but he kept a lot of the women as well. And it's, yeah, a lot of the best treasures of the, what is that, the loot, you know. The spoils they took from Saul as well. But you can go read up on it on 1 Samuel 15. And the sad thing is, many times before that, God also warned him through Samuel that came to speak to him and said, you should be completely obedient to God. But that day, when he was disobedient, his authority was taken away from him. That's when God started raising up David in his place. Just by being disobedient. So there's ways that God will convict us as well. If those things wrong in our life, will bring conviction in our hearts. So that's the first step. The second one is it will bring people to speak into our life, like Samuel did with Saul. And that could be people in church, our family, our friends, our pastors, etc. And then there's also the third step, that's judgment. So judgment is not a bad thing. We can also judge ourselves. So in the scripture, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 32. I'm going to read it for you. The careless and unworthy participation is the reason many of you are weak and sickly, and quite enough of you have fallen into the deep sleep of death. If you, this is New Testament, eh? For if we searchingly examine ourselves, detected our shortcomings, and recognizing our own condition, we should not be judged and penalty decreed by the divine judgment. But when we fall short and are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined and chastened, so that we may not finally be condemned to eternal punishment along with the world. So, there's two, apparently in the Hebrew, I haven't learned to read Hebrew yet. Maybe one day I will. In the Hebrew, in this specific scripture, there's two different Hebrew words for judgment. So the one is diakrino, which means, literally translated, separate extensively, which means, in our context, it's a true repentance. You judge yourself to, and then you bring yourself to a place of repentance. You separate yourself from what you've been busy with, literally. And then there's also the word krino, which is used in the second part of this verse, which is the punishment then that will come through God. Sometimes people's lives will be so disobedient, there's the covering list from God, there's his protection, and they'll open the doors for things to happen in their lives that's not from him. And then often people will come to repentance as well. And that book that I read this week is so amazing that the guy would, you see, he had a counseling session with a mom and a son, and the son was very rebellious toward his mom in the conversation. And at the end of the meeting, he told the son, if you're not going to stop treating your mom like this, you're going to go to jail. And he didn't know where that came from, but he just said it and he prophesied. And then a few years later, he met up with the mom again, and she came to him and said, my son is in jail. And she was happy, and he couldn't understand it. But then she said, her son, when he got to jail, I didn't say what he did, but his heart repented and came to salvation, and he's now sharing to the people, and you know, he's got his own ministry in jail for that period that he was there. So she was testifying of God's goodness through that bad situation, you know, the judgment attendant. So, there's different steps that God will take us through. So don't be afraid. It's just to open up our hearts and realize that God is a good God, and he wants to bring us to a place of repentance and walk away from rebellion and to actually be under the shadow of his covering. Okay, that's basically what I said now, if you're listening somewhere. Okay? Are you all still with me? Okay. Okay. Amen. Okay. And so, in the world that we live in, you can read the news everywhere. The lawlessness is increasing, worldviews are forming our perceptions, and especially as a newborn Christian, if you come into a church, some of these things could be quite crazy, because you come with a democratic mindset. So you talk about kingdom principles, you know, what is that? But it's important to have that transformation in our hearts. So in Romans 12 is 2, that's on you. That's one of our first scriptures that you can follow with. So it says, do not be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external superficial customs, but be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and its new attitude, so that you may prove for yourself what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in his sight for you. Okay? So that's amplified for the extended version. But it's that new ideals and this new attitude. So God wants us to become formed to his likeness. And it's such a beautiful, beautiful scripture. That's Romans 12, verse 2. There's also another one, Romans 6, verse 16. Do you not know that if you continually surrender yourselves to anyone to do his will, you are the slave of him whom you obey? Whether that be to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness, for right doing and in right standing with God. Romans 6, verse 16. Yeah, so that's what we obey, that's what we will be a slave to. If it's sin, it will lead to death. If it's obedience, it will lead to righteousness. And righteousness meaning in right standing with God, which is where we want to be. Amen? Mm-hmm. So we want to be conformed to not be conformed to the pattern of this world. And we want to walk in these ways. Maybe just to go to the next slide, there's just to define, maybe just bring a new definition into sin for some of us. So sin, if you think sin, you think maybe blatant sin, you think what, you know, things we can do wrong which we already feel condemned about. And so the Bible, I'm not going to go into detail with that now, but there's a lot of scriptures that say why sin is sin. There's, you know, Duncan also mentioned earlier about adultery and just your hate towards your brother that's already a murder. So there's things like that, but there's also, you know, sin in a broader context, which often gets neglected. It's that lawlessness. So lawlessness, you would think, is that blatant sins, but if you read Matthew 24, verse 12 to 13, it speaks of, you know the scripture, Matthew 11, verse 12 to 13a, it speaks of the love of many will grow cold because of lawlessness that would abound. And in Hebrew, it's interesting, if you go back to the Hebrew, the love that they talk about, there's agape love, which has been directed to the church, because you get another type of love, this filial love, which was more directed to normal friendship love. But agape love was a new love that was brought in to the body. It's a much deeper affectionate love. So they're not speaking to unbelievers here, speaking to believers. So it's directed to the church. The lawlessness abounding in the church, yeah? And the love of many growing cold because of this lawlessness in the church. So that lawlessness is defined. There's another scripture, Matthew 7:21, verse 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and driven out demons in your name and done many mighty works in your name? And then I will say to them openly, publicly, I never knew you. Depart from me, you act wickedly, disregarding my commandments. This is scripture, guys. This is Matthew 7, 21, 23, Jesus speaking this evening, speaking directly to people that think they're saved, they can't believe they're staying in the gates of heaven, and now they're not going to heaven. He says, apart from me. So we got to search our hearts this morning and just ask ourselves, where are we standing in towards lawlessness or disobedience to the authority of God? So there's a couple of scriptures. I'm just going to keep reading this one coming up now, the Luke 14, 16, 23, next slide. So being disobedient to the authority of God is often just making excuses or having other priorities or just being deceived by what should be priorities. Okay, so I'm going to read the scripture. It's quite a long one, but keep following with me. But Jesus said to him, a man was once giving a great supper and invited many. And at the hour for the supper, he sent his servant to say to the host who had been invited, come, for all is now ready. That's exciting. But they all alike began to make excuses and to beg off. And this was not idolaters or murderers. This was guests that was invited. The first said to him, I have brought a piece of land. Bought a piece of land. And I have to put out and see it. I have to go out and see it. I beg you, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I am going to examine and put my approval on them. I beg you, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and because of this, I am unable to come. This is funny, eh? So the servant came and reported these answers to his master. Then the master of the house said in wrath to his servant, go quickly into the great streets and small streets of the city and bring in here the poor and the disabled and the blind and the lame. And the servant returning said, sir, we have, what you have commanded me to do has been done. And yet there is still room. Then the master said to the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and constrain them to yield and come in so that my house may be full. So it doesn't speak of somebody being desperate. It just speaks, there's an invitation. The supper is ready and this is what we've called to meet up with God one day. This is exciting stuff. But this is people that's been invited, the main guests. Just have other priorities here, they've got other things to do. And, it just spoke to me so much this week, this stuff of obedience to God. Be able to be ready when He says go, go, you know? And obviously there's a lot of principles to go. You know, sometimes we need confirmation on things. And that's fine, you know, the word says, but two or three, you will confirm his word. And then there's another scripture, Matthew 21, verse 28 to 33. We're just reading scripture today. Okay, I'm not just read scripture. Okay, so it says here, what do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He came to the first and said, son, go and work today in the vineyard. And he answered, I will not. But afterward, he changed his mind and went. I think this was me for a long time in church. The church duties. Then the man came to the second and said to him the same thing, and he replied, I will go, sir, but he did not go. Which of the two is the will of the Father? And they replied, the first one. Jesus said to them, truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the harlots will get into the kingdom of heaven before you. That's just straight to the point. Love it. So this speaks of the same thing. Is we, you know, sometimes we're really willing to go, but then we don't go. Often people will not be willing to go, but later they actually have a change of mind because of their judgment that maybe comes into their life, or whichever way their path might lead them to. And they come to repentance and they actually obey the Father. And that's what's so beautiful about salvation. Whichever time of your life, it's never too late. Amen? So, another thing of lawlessness, is, I think you get the scripture now. That's 1 Samuel 15, verse 22 to 23, which Duncan has just shared with you earlier, so you might recognize it. Samuel said, as the Lord has great in the light and burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken and the fat of rams. But Duncan will read the next scripture, though. This is where rebellion comes in. So for rebellion, this is the next scripture, eh? So it talks about obedience, it's better than sacrifice. And in the next scripture it says, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Some translations say rebellion is witchcraft. And stubbornness is idolatry and terrible. Practice household goods and nothing religious. So because you have rejected the word of the Lord, you also have rejected you from being king. That's the scripture that was referred to when Samuel spoke to Saul after all his disobedience. He was obedient to go into battle, but he wasn't completely obedient to everything that God said him to do. So witchcraft is quite a word that sometimes we might use at all because it just sounds way out there, and family of darkness. Not so family, but so witchcraft, apparently there's a commandment, the satanic commandment, there's one commandment they have, and it says, do what thou wilt. Okay? That's the commandment, so do whatever you want. And that's exactly the opposite to what we believe in. It's not, we don't do just what we want. We might feel sometimes we just want to do what we want, but there's these structures, and that's why this preach today is just about the authority that's there for us to have that protection, that covering, and to be able to walk in the blessings of being obedient to God. And then we're both come to know delegated authority as well that look over us and that actually guides us, because we're all growing, we all have different things that we're going through, and we need people around us to guide us and to give us instruction. That's where protection comes in. So that's all good. There's another scripture, John 5 verse 30, I'm able to do nothing from myself. So this just supports what, you know, goes to the opposite of what the satanic commandment is. So another one, Psalm 40, verse 7 to 8, Psalms, I don't know where it's at. Then said I, behold, I come in the volume of the book that is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God, yes, your law is within my heart. That's David, that set a good example for us of obedience. He's made mistakes, but he's also repented of these mistakes. And he just says, you know, he delights in the will of the Lord. God's will is good. So, yeah. Amen? So that's just to define sin a little bit, and what is, you know, the broader context, like I mentioned, it's not just the blatant sins that you see on the media or whatever. It's often in church, a rebellion in our hearts. And I say ours because, very guilty of this, say. We all have certain areas of our lives, and we just gotta bring it to God and say, Lord, I repent. And that's all he wants. He just wants our hearts to, and then he can work with us. It's like Chris also testified earlier. Sometimes, you know, that the tension comes up and the pressure is on, and that's when God can use, you know, that's when God wants to come in and knock on the door and say, hey, I'm going to help you. I'm the helper. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do for us, you know? So we just got to open our hearts to receive from this. So there's the direct authority, then there's also delegated authority. And this is, I'm just going to throw up a couple of scriptures later on, but this is where, this is structures that God has put in place for us to help us. So there's, for example, the marriage authority structure. And it says in the word, who finds a wife finds a good thing. We do it the godly way. Myself and my wife, we try to. We did it. So, like, you know, we had like girlfriends before. I'm not saying it's not good to have a girlfriend or boyfriend, but we were just, so it would be just in a privileged position where we could, like, just comparing to the worldly way of doing things now, it's the opposite. You meet each other the first night in bed together, and then the relationship starts. Whereas we really tried hard to do it the other way around, to meet each other, and we, you know, we knew each other for a few months, then I asked her out, you know, a bit of courtship time, I asked her dad if I can ask her out actually, and there was a kind of 5 months of dating, which was really short, and then we got engaged, and so things happened quickly, but then, yeah, there was the engagement season, which was really tough, so try to keep the engagement short, if you can, and then, yeah, there was marriage, and now we're happily married, and we're going through challenges, but there's the blessing that we're reaping of it, and we could even make drastic decisions like going to England now in 2 months, and it's as if things are just falling into place and God is just directing us every step of the way because we're in unity on it, and there's a covering. So yeah, it's all exciting stuff. If we honor God's principles, and especially when it comes to covenant principles, which also speaks of authority and structure, and so there's a lot that happens. So think maybe of a war. You all have watched movies like Gladiator, etc. Love the beginning of the movie when the general walks in and everybody salutes him. They just understand this guy is on it, eh? And so think of war. Most of the time, the general has more information than the guys fighting the battle. Okay, and you got to move through the ranks. Sometimes people in church jump the ranks. I'm not the one to say yes or no, but it's the best way to go through the ranks, okay? So, like for Paul, example, Paul wrote 3/4 of the New Testament, but he took, I don't know how many years, he went into isolation for 13 or something years, and then he only joined the church, and then he was just a teacher for quite a few years, and then only was ordained as an apostle eventually by James, who was the head of the Jerusalem church. So, and it took a long time. Anyway, I don't want to say that, but what I'm saying is that there's different orders in God's authority structure that He's set up for us. And the interesting thing is many times God will send us what we need in a package we don't want. So you could have a certain perception of what a pastor should be like, and then Manus walks into the door and he's not what you maybe like movies, but he is a triathlete. And it just doesn't fit your profile. And, yeah, but I believe Manus has been sent, and Manus and Janet have been a blessing to us in the church for this last year. It's been really amazing to submit on them and to see their love for us as a church and to sacrifice on their side so much to be here for us. So the least we can do is to position ourselves properly in the right way God has called us to do as individuals. So, as you read through the New Testament, there's something else that I want to point out is the disciples were constantly battling who's the greatest in the kingdom, who's going to be sitting next to you, who's the best disciple, da da da. And the interesting thing is it's not a personality contest, but it's the authority vested in a man that can be traced back to Jesus. So God gives authority, all authority is from Him, and it's to decide if we're going to be obedient to His call on your life. And that's the exciting thing. So when we're standing here in front today, I'm fear and trembling, you know, because I'm preaching and I never thought of myself preaching, but here I am. So that's God maybe saying something to me. Yeah. And then maybe one day I'll pick up a guitar. Yeah. So Hebrews 13 verse 17, it says, yes, it's on there. Obey your spiritual leaders and submit to them. That's what it says. Continually recognizing their authority over you, for they are constantly keeping watch over your souls and guarding your spiritual welfare, as men who will have to render on account of their trust, do your part to let them do this with gladness and not with sighing and groaning for what could not be profit to either. Okay? So I think in the church we've done really well with this, but I just want to, believe we can go to the next level with this, and really obeying and submitting on our spiritual leaders. I just experienced, many of you have probably experienced that the place when you captain of a team or any authority position in your family or home, work, wherever, start experiencing that blessing, people actually just respond to what you say. For example, for me personally, that's part of my biggest testing the last 5 years as a guy and traveling. So I remember I told you about traveling to Africa, so I drove these trucks. And I would have 25 guests, quite wealthy people from all across the world. You have 12 different nationalities in one truck. And you will take these people through Africa and they listen to every word you say. And the funny thing is sometimes I went to places I don't even remember before. And they, we just so, if we leave 4:30 in the morning, they'll, they make sure they're up on time and things are packed and ready to go 5:30 because we'll tell them, to leave on time. We'll run to each other's destination, before midnight and things will stay. So it was amazing to experience that blessing as a 23-year-old. Just that authority that was decided for me through the company, and I've got all these people I'm responsible for, and we see Africa, and we traveling, we're going through border posts, and we go, and it was amazing to see, even the private gamblers that I worked, had CEOs and directors that own millions, celebrities that sit on the big level, be completely, just eating out of your hand type of thing. But I'm just saying, so I must be careful what I'm saying. Okay, but it was just amazing to be in that. It was a privileged position because I was an authority, but I was also serving them at the same time. And I learned a lot from that experience. And now coming to Durban and starting back in the church, it's just been a blessing to just serve the church in that way as well. And I understand that, there's a lot of pressure on the leaders. So sometimes social needs are not going to be always met. Like with us being a relatively new church plant, and we're growing, there's sometimes pioneering that needs to happen, and you've got to sometimes just, fall into cyclists, catch the slipstream and just go for it, and just try to keep up. And it's not always going to be easy, but it's good, it's all blessed. That's where we're growing. Like Chris has mentioned earlier, we want to grow. Amen. So Isaiah 1 verse 19 to 20, there's another scripture. It says, if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. And 1 Timothy 5 verse 17, let the elders who perform the duties of the office well be considered doubly worthy of honor, okay, and of adequate financial support. I love the Amplified. Especially those who labor faithfully in preaching and teaching. So, it's in another scripture, Romans 13, verse 1 to 2. Let every person be loyally subject to the governing civil authorities, for there is no authority except from God. So this is probably a scripture I should have put up right in the beginning, which I've been speaking about. For there is no authority except from God, by His permission, His sanction. And those who exist do survive God's appointment. Therefore, he who resists and sets himself up against the authorities resists what God has appointed and arranged in divine order. And those who resist will bring down judgment upon themselves, receiving the penalty due them. Okay, that's a good scripture to go read up on maybe after in Romans 13. And just remember that. Romans 13. So then with delegated authority then comes the principle of honoring. So I would just like to just get into depth on it. So Matthew 10 verse 40 to 43 just speaks of that divine order. You receive me. And you receive me, receives him who sent you. So this is Jesus speaking. He receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. We will enjoy rewards. So if you want these rewards, you need to receive people to come into our lives with what we actually design away. So prophets could be, just in our modern day, could be mentioned as people that speak into our lives, especially in church context. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, surely I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. So it's quite a, even the previous scripture that talked about divine order, you can also see Jesus first referred to himself, receiving himself, and then receiving a prophet, and then receiving a righteous man, and also being received a little one. So there's different places of like growth stages that we're in. You know, ultimately, you know, you can only be in authority if you're under authority. So a pastor will also have to submit to another head pastor, and there's eventually a place where somebody submits straight to God and be, you know, if you, like for example with me in my family context, if I make decisions against God's will, my wife is not going to be accountable for that today. I'm going to be the one that's going to be standing in front of God and be responsible in a way. Responsible, not in a way. So, so Romans 13 verse, just we read Romans 13 verse 1 to 2. It just continues to verse 7. I just want to, it says in verse 7, respect to whom respect is due and honor to whom honor is due. It's not on there. But, yeah, and we just, it's just a place where we, it's almost that place of outward focus where we realize that the life, the world is not just turning around us. It's, there's people around us and we can, that honoring principle, when we receive somebody with honor and we honor them, then the reward can come towards us as well. That, which, you know, that person can bring, the blessing that he can bring into our lives. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So there's, just to, I haven't put this on the board either. So there's just, most of you know these things, that's why I didn't want to go into detail too much depth. I'd rather want to socialize afterwards and have a good time together. But this honoring principle, there's scriptures that refers to each authority structure in our lives. So for marriage, for example, it says, wives, be subject, be submissive, and adapt yourselves to your own husbands as a service to the Lord. Parents, honor, esteem, and value. Okay, that's Ephesians 6 verse 2. It speaks about parents, honoring parents. Honor, esteem, and value as precious, your father and your mother. This is the first commandment of the promise. I need to honor my parents much more than I do. I don't know how you all feel, but sometimes you just got to call them and say, Mom, Dad, honor you. And thank you for your goodness in our lives. It doesn't happen just that, like the day we get married or there's a significant time for life. It's just the continuous, the way we talk to my parents over the phone. I know I'm very guilty of this. Often it's like, oh, you know, I'm busy, don't bother me now, type of thing. But I should make time, by making time to call them and making sure that I have sufficient time to speak to them and paying attention to what they say on the phone. That means that's already honoring them in a way. And my mom loves talking. So sometimes I lose sort of channel to it. She's gonna probably listen to this sermon. But I need to change that. I need to really be interested in her life. I'm repenting of this morning, guys. So I've got lovely parents, but they also need to know that I honor them. Otherwise, I'm not gonna receive the blessing that they actually have, that God has given me. And then social authority, 1 Timothy 6 verse 1, it says, let all who are under the yoke as a bondservant esteem their own personal masters worthy of honor and fullest respect, so that the name of God and the teaching about him may not be brought into disrepute and blasphemy. Often this happening because of people in church just misrepresenting authority. And to church, 1 Timothy 5 and 17, it said, let the elders who perform the duties of their office well be considered doubly worthy of honor and adequate financial support. We've got that idea. Especially those who labor faithfully and preaching and teaching. Okay. So we're going to get on to the last slide now. This is where everything that I've said sort of summarized in five different points. It looks a bit confusing if you look at it at first. But maybe go through the list for a few seconds and just try to like see yourself where you fall, which bracket you sort of fall into, and your attitude towards authority in general. So there's the disobedient and not submissive. So you can have a submissive attitude, but you could be disobedient to what's been said. There's, for example, like that scripture we read earlier of the two sons. The one said, we'll go, but he didn't go. So he was submissive in what he originally intended to do, but he didn't go. Then it's obedient, but not submissive. That's what often happens in church, especially you'll have somebody, your manager, he doesn't meet up to your idea of a manager. So now he tells you to do something, so you're like, oh, okay, I'm gonna go and do what he did because I've got to get my salary, or that type of attitude that comes through. So it's, you're not submissive, but you just do it because you have to. In church even as well, we sometimes do things because we just feel like we have to. It's just a change of heart towards what we do and why we do things with excellence. And then submissive, but not obedient. I'm getting myself confused now. Oh, did I? Okay. We all make mistakes, right? So disobedient and not submissive. That is obviously blatant, just not caring, don't care, just whatever. And then, thanks a lot. Okay, then I explained the second one correctly, then submissive but not obedient. Is that, like the first son that I mentioned earlier. And then obedient and submissive, is that I believe that's where God wants to bring us to. It's where we can serve with the obedient part and, and be submissive in our attitude of why we do it. There's this thing about just our yeses should be more than our noes. Okay? We get asked to preach, we just preach because we submit and we go for it and we just keep running, eh? It's such an exciting place. I've grown a lot just by this week preparing for this and realizing the responsibility I have and asking God, like, what is on his part for me to share? What is my biggest testimony of the last few years? It's actually been this in a big way, because the beginning of my internship year with Duncan in Stellenbosch, I think I mentioned this maybe in the previous time when I spoke, but this is something that really hit me hard, because we were in the first week, everybody, CS came around, he was the leader of our group and prayed for everybody. And, it came to me, well, everybody sort of had amazing, like, words of blessing. And it came to me and then said, God has delivered me of strife. And I didn't know what that word meant at the time, but God came to deliver me of strife in the last few years because I was striving, trying to do things for myself, serving the church for my own glory and my own affirmation and finding my own way through. And this, change of my heart, and I'm still growing in it, but it's a place of where I want to serve to bless somebody else, to see them be blessed. I'm saying this by faith, that is well, putting on my faith, but our yeses should be more than our noes. Amen? And then there's the last one, submissive, but released from being obedient, and that's what I mentioned in the beginning. This is these odd occasions when authority will blatantly tell you to sin through what they ask you of you to do, still having a submissive attitude. A good example that the book has also, for example, mentioned is, which I found quite appropriate, often, you would be sitting on the couch and wife would answer the phone, say, the person wants to speak to you, and the husband would say, no, I'm not here. But the strictly speaking, the wife should actually say, well, I'm not going to lie. Would I rather tell them you're not available now, or you'll find them back later, something like that. It's just a different way of approaching the situation. It's just like justifying the lie. You don't have to be obedient to blatantly. That's a small example, but it's just one of those typical things that happens in ordinary life, in ordinary days. We need to decide where we're gonna, make the decisions and how we're gonna respond, especially when leaders tell us to sin. So, amen. So there's a, maybe I'm just gonna read this last scripture before we close off. If there should be places where authority tells you to sin, there's a scripture where it says that you don't have to drink from a defiled fountain, you must walk away. But walking away doesn't mean you criticize and slander and be critical towards that authority. God will judge that authority. That's what's important to know as well. Sometimes we're murmuring underneath the covers so much in gossip and church, especially, happens a lot. Generally speaking. that says in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 9 to 11, I wrote to you in my precious letter not to associate closely and habitually with unclassed impure people, not meaning, of course, that you must altogether shun the moral people of this world, or the greedy graspers and the cheats and thieves and the idolaters, since otherwise you would need to get out of the world, even when society altogether. So he's not saying to live in the bush somewhere. But now I write to you not to associate with anyone who bears the name of Christian brother if he is known to be guilty of immorality or greed, or as an idolater whose soul is devoted to get, whose soul is devoted to any object that assumes in place of God, or in a person with a foul tongue, railing, abusing, reviling, slandering, or is a drunkard, or a swindler, or a robber. No, you must not do so much as eat with such a person. So, just to explain the scripture, it doesn't mean, it says exactly, you know, you can take one verse out and you can say, wow, you know, God says we shouldn't eat with drunkards, for example, it says that. But in the verse just above it, it says, it doesn't, don't take it out of context, it means we still associate ourselves with people. We are yet to be in the world, but we're not from the world. And if there's brothers around us that need to be corrected, we do it in an appropriate way, in the correct structures that God has set in place. It just comes back to that same honoring principle. Okay. So, I went through this much quicker than I thought. I'm sort of rushing a bit, I think. But I hope you all, you know, find the time. Okay. Amazing on some flies. Okay, maybe just wanna maybe close off and say that God loves all of us a lot and He just wants us to understand His ways better. As long as we open up our hearts to receive the truth of His word, there's a blessing, there's a protection, there's a covering and being under His authority. And authority is not a bad thing.